Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Heavenly Father, what a joy and privilege it is to come together on this, thy holy Sabbath day, to come here and worship together, to lift one another up, and to draw closer to you, Lord. We thank you for this music that has just been played. It reminds us of the heavenly music that is waiting for us. And pray, Lord, that as we worship together today, may each one of us truly receive a spiritual blessing. In Christ's name I ask. Amen.
Time for the children's story.
Oh, boys and girls, how is everybody? Good. Have you been getting any mail at your house? Have you been getting any different mail than you usually get? Has anyone been receiving any cards in the mail? Yeah? Maybe some Christmas cards? Or how about catalogs? Or store flyers? Well, I brought a couple to show you. This one came from Kohl's, and it says, "Only 11 days left to save. Ready, set, give." And it says on the front, my name, and it says if I go there, I can take an extra 20% off something I buy. And on the back, it says if I spend so much money, they'll give me $10 back in Kohl's cash so I can spend more money another visit. And I looked through here, and I was wondering, is there anything in here that I need? And I found this page, and I saw those slippers, and I thought, I need some new slippers. I want you to listen to me carefully. I have some slippers, but they're pink, and they're a year or two old, and they don't look as pretty as these slippers. So I need some new slippers. What do you think about that? I have a little sign I brought here. Oops, brought a little sign here. On this side it says need, and on this side it says want. So I need a volunteer who could come up here and hold the sign. Matthew, how about you? You hold the sign and you point it toward the children. What do you think? Do I need the new slippers or do I want the slippers? Oh, he's got it. Okay, let's see what else I've got here. Okay. Now, I have a bank. I don't have a bank shaped like a football. In my bank, you just put the money in and you have to count the money yourself. In this bank, if you put the money in, it'll count the coins digitally. So I need this bank. What do you think? Hold up your sign. Need or want? Okay. Now, I also got a catalog here from Elder Bierman. And it says, the biggest gift sale. This sounds like the best sale they've had the whole year. And look at this page. This is all perfumes and colognes. Now, I could really use some new perfume, right? So I could smell nice. I really need some perfume. I need some perfume. And look at this. They sent this card in there. And if you tear this open, then it's supposed to smell. Give me a sample of what I could smell like, because I need this perfume. What do you think, Matthew? You hold up the sign. Do I need this perfume? Okay. Well, maybe I need. Sometimes I do need it, but I certainly need some. Yeah, okay. That's enough. And then this is a catalog that comes just especially for dogs, and I opened this up, and if I had a dog, I would really, really need to buy it this gingerbread puzzle house and these mini cupcakes and a reindeer suit. I think I need those things if I have a dog. What do you think? Hold up your sign. Help him out. Do I need a reindeer suit for my dog? That's a want, isn't it? Now, sometimes, thank you, Matthew, you can sit back down. Sometimes when we live in this world tries to get us to believe its papers and its catalogs that say that all these things are treasures that we need. And I got a different catalog in the mail, and this was by far my very favorite one. I get this catalog every year, and I love it when it comes. I want to show you this catalog. Actually, I'm not quite done with you, Matthew. I open up here. See this little girl here? I chose this picture because it's a bigger one. Do you see how she's washing with that little bowl there of water? You see that? I'm going to read to you what it says here. It says, Cambodia still has the lowest water coverage in Southeast Asia. In a certain place, only 3% of households have wells. Many households must travel great distances to obtain water from muddy creeks and ponds. On many days, families simply go without water. So, what do you think about water? Is that a need or a want? That's a need. Now, I get a lot of catalogs in the mail that tell me that I need all this stuff, all this great treasure. And then I get a catalog like this, and it shows me that there are people around the world who really do have need. Do you see this picture here of this child putting on shoes? Well, this is a place in Armenia, and I read my catalog here, and it says many children do not have shoes, and they have winter there. They have snow there. It says many children do not have shoes, and they don't have socks, and once the snow comes, it says that they do not leave the house until the snow is gone. Now, I don't know much about how long the snow stays in Armenia, but I'm imagining that these young children can't go out of the house for weeks, maybe months. They have no shoes. Now, I talked about slippers a minute ago, and I said, I need a new pair of slippers because mine are pink and I'm kind of tired of them. Do you hear the difference? I have slippers. I have shoes I'm wearing today. These children, they have no shoes. They cannot go out of the house. It's not just that they don't like their boots anymore. They don't have any boots. So our world sends all this kind of garbage to me with beautiful ladies and beautiful sweaters and makes me want to believe that I have to have a red sweater if I already have a gray one, and that I have to have blue slippers if I already have pink. And those are not the treasures that God has for us. His treasures are things that pertain to life and wellness and happiness and salvation. And there's a verse in the Bible that says in Matthew, this is a different version that's a little easier to understand for kids, and the title is called Put Away Riches in Heaven. It says, do not put away riches for yourselves here on earth. Moths and rust can destroy them. Thieves can break in and steal them. It says, instead, put away for yourselves treasure in heaven. And then it tells us that our heart will be where our treasure is. So if we're concerned about all the new things that come in the catalogs in the mail, we're not really thinking about the treasure that Jesus offers us. Jesus offers to make us happy and whole, and he offers to give us eternal life. So I want us to think instead about all the presents that we could get at Christmas and all the presents we might wish for, like football-shaped banks that count money. I want you to think instead about the true treasure, which is Jesus. Can you remember that? Let's pray about that.
In my school, there's something for time. It's called Time for Kids. And there's like all these like new kind of machines. One of them is called a Martin jetpack. It's coming out in like 2011. And there's also toys, a lot of toys. And there's one robot that costs a lot. I don't know the price, but the Martin jetpack that costs $100,000.
Wow, that's quite a quite a lot of money, isn't it? I want to try to use my money to help people, to be able to know about Jesus, and to help us get ready for Jesus so that he can come soon. Would you pray about that with me? Dear God, I thank you so much that you've given us a good mind so we can make good choices. And when we get things in the mail and we see commercials on TV about new toys and things that we should, we think that we need, help us to know, God, what we really need is you. We love you and we want to be with you. Please come quickly. Help us to be ready and get many people ready to come with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is a responsive reading found in your hymnal, number 730, The Birth of Christ, number 730. I will be reading the light print, and you can follow along with the dark print, number 730. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I will bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to whom, on whom his favor rests."
The Bible verse when Wilbert had the family prayer, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Anybody know what that says? "Let us not forsake the assemblies of ourselves together as the manner is of some, but so much more as you see the day approaching." Isn't it always glad to come together and hold each other's hands and pray together and rejoice together? I praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Eric, for the reading of God's Word. For those of you who are from Saginaw, today you're getting the first reading of the sermon. And next week you'll get the second reading in Saginaw. When the pastor asked me to come here and speak, I really had another sermon prepared. But you know how the Lord works sometimes. And so the message that you are going to hear today has been from the Lord, has inspired me to do it. And I'll give you a warning ahead of time that this is the first time that I've ever did a PowerPoint presentation. So if I goof up, you'll know why. And for anybody that has the nerve to do one of these, it takes hours and hours to get a presentation together. So I pray and hope that everything will go well today. You know, if I get the clicker working here. All right, peaceful scene. Christmas Eve, it's all quiet. All of us are tucked in our beds. Not a sound could be heard when all of a sudden there arose such a what? Clatter. I wondered what was the matter. And it was the telephone. It seems that the time was just after midnight. And you don't like to receive a call after midnight because you know that something is wrong. And what to our wondering ears did appear? An urgent message that our daughter was in labor, and the pains were about 3 minutes apart. And could we come quick? So we sprang from our beds and flew out the door, and soon we arrived at the woman's center. Carrie Ford was the midwife, and Rhonda Heisman was the nurse. I knocked at the door, and another lady came to the door and said, "Wait, you can't come in right now. She is pushing." Well, I didn't know what that meant, so I had to stand outside the door there, and I could hear all this shouting and this screaming from our daughter. I wondered, what in the world is going on in there? It was awful. Again, it happened, and I was about ready to go in there and rescue my poor little girl when I heard a baby cry, a healthy baby cry. And here I was. Once again, I was a grandfather. And so we have another Holly in our church, and Holly is a good name. Soon we were inside, and I could see a tiny miniature human being lying there wrapped in a towel. And our daughter was smiling with a brand new Christmas present that she was holding in her arms. All's well that turns out well. Then it came my turn to hold the Christmas child, little Holly. And I did. And I thought of how fragile, how frail that this little baby was, but yet how strong this baby was, and yet so dependent. And I thought of Jesus as he was born into this world and as a fresh new baby in a warm manger lying on sweet hay. And I thought about that as I held this new baby, this new life in my arms. And I stopped to think and how thankful I am that Jesus was born into this world. I'm thankful that Jesus is my Savior and that he came to rescue me from the penalty of sin, and that to provide each one of us with eternal life. Jesus Christ is really the reason for the season. I approached a little girl outside and I said, "Do you know what Christmas is? What it means?" And she says, "Well, yeah, that's the time that we get our families together and we have a great big meal. That's the time we receive gifts, we give gifts to one another. That's the time of the year that Santa Claus comes to town, you know." And I said, "Do you know whose birthday it is?" "No," she said. And I told her, "It's Jesus' birthday, Jesus Christ's birthday. On December the 25th, the world celebrates the birth of Christ, even though it's actually not the original day that Christ was born on. But yet that's the day that the world has chosen." And then the question, why did Jesus choose to waste so much time growing up? You ever stop to think about that? He had only 33 years allotted to accomplish his mission. And why did Jesus allocate about 90% of that time growing up from a baby into a man? Well, I believe that he did that to give us dignity and honor in every stage, from the cradle to the grave. Our Savior exhibited life. Jesus came as a baby to show us how to live. He came as a baby so that he could be one of us, and that he could really get to know us as human beings, and he could experience and know the results of sin here in this world. Now in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.'" That's beautiful when you stop to think about it. that Jesus did arrive as a baby. On that very first Christmas, the shepherds came. They came to the birthing unit. But you know what? There was no nurse there to bar the door. The shepherds were able to freely walk in. And I want you to know that any time that you or I seek Jesus from anywhere, no matter what he's doing, the door is always open. Nothing was barring the way of the shepherds. The wise men came from a long distance and found him. And the shepherds came from just across town and found him. And you too, brothers and sisters, can find Jesus if you're looking for him. If you are, you will find him. The birth of Jesus as a baby was foretold way back in the book of Genesis. If we go back to Genesis 3:15, here Adam and Eve were being told what the penalty of sin was. And then actually God was speaking to the serpent. In Genesis 3:15 it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He, Jesus, will crush your head, Satan's head, and you will strike his heel. That's an interesting prophecy all the way from the beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis. A prophecy that one day would be fulfilled, that Christ would come as the Messiah and crush the head of the old serpent, the devil. That baby, that little baby, was to grow up and to overcome the devil. And indeed, that baby did. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, his birth doomed the devil. And that's very important because Jesus was the only person, the only one that could conquer the devil. His death on the cross was a blow on the head of the deceiver, and the victory was won. Salvation's complete price there at the cross was paid in full. It was provided for you. All that you have to do is accept it. Ephesians 2:8, I think it says, for by grace you have been saved. Not by works, lest any man should boast. But by God's sending his son here as a baby, growing up and dying upon that cross, that the penalty of sin was paid for you and I. And I just imagine Adam and Eve outside the garden there. They just sinned. They'd just been evicted from their estate called Eden. And there they were. And then came the news is, you're going to have a baby. I think that even Adam, on hearing these words, soon realized that a redeemer would come. Even though they were expelled from their home, it would not be very long, and they would be restored to the garden. Genesis 4:1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now I believe that Eve thought that this boy was actually Jesus himself, the Redeemer. The baby that came with terrible labor pains was worth it because he would have come to save them. Mother Eve had great, precious hopes for this child. This baby would crush the head of the devil. And she believed he was the Lord, the Savior. And we know from reading this statement in Genesis 4:1, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Now, if you read that in the Hebrew, it says, I have gotten a man, the Lord. That's actually how it reads. I have gotten a man, the Lord. She believed he was the Lord. This is from the Bible commentary, page 238. When Eve held her firstborn in her arms, she apparently remembered the divine promise of Genesis 3:15 in entertaining the hope that he was to be the, what? Promised deliverer. Little did she know that Cain would become the world's first murderer. As it says there, that Genesis 4:8, now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. One day Jesus would arrive as a baby, and she thought that Cain was the promised child to deliver them from the penalty of sin and restore them back to the Garden of Eden. But when Jesus arrived, aren't you glad that he wasn't the first murderer? Anyways, we're so happy that Jesus Christ was not the first murderer on this world. Jesus is the reason that we have the season. A little girl was taken shopping by her parents to go around town and to see the displays, the lights, and they stopped to look at the beautiful nativity scene. They admired the animals, they admired Joseph and Mary, and admired the baby there in the cradle. Then the little girl made a statement, and she says, "You know, this is really nice, but there's something that bothers me. Every year we come to the manger. Why is it that Jesus is always the same size? You know, why doesn't he grow up? Some people are looking for Jesus to grow up. And, you know, but God so loved the world that he sent a baby into this world that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. To think that Jesus would have to come into this world in a sinful, cursed world. But he did that. He came to save each one of us personally. The only way he can save us is by accepting Christ into our hearts. In Psalms 51, 10 and 11, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Isn't it wonderful when you can ask the Lord to create a new heart within you? You know? And the other part from Ezekiel 18:31, "Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit, O house of Israel." And that applies to us today, that the Lord wants us to have a new heart. We adults are like babies. You know, we're totally dependent upon God. We can do nothing but cry and make a mess of things and suck on our low-calorie thumb. That's all we can do. But if we cement our life totally to Jesus, into his hands, we will grow. We will grow. Totally surrender yourself to Christ, our Savior, and you will find yourself growing in a Christian experience. You will be growing stronger in your life. And then in Luke, what happened when they came to Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph? There was no room for him in the inn. They came to Bethlehem. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born and gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Here is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, coming to this world to be born. And as they came to Bethlehem, you know, I don't know if the motels or whatever they had there, but all the rooms were full. There was no room for the baby Jesus except in a barn, in a manger. So the King of Kings had to settle for that. If these people would have known who Mary and Joseph were, and what was about to happen, I'm sure they would have found a room fit for a king. But they didn't know. I don't understand the virgin birth. I don't understand how a human virgin could give birth to a baby God, and how a Christ child could grow up being a child, but yet fully being God. Yet it happened. Jesus is a baby. He was the first Christmas present, if you want to call it that, that was given to a lost and dying world. And yet, there was no room to receive your Savior. Today, we may not have room in our own dwellings for Him. I don't know. If we don't, I'd certainly make room. Yet, what did 99% of the people do with that gift? Nobody even knew He was born. God's own people rejected it, and they tried to destroy the priceless gift. From day one, there was no room for the Christ child. Well, actually, I take that back, because they did make room for Christ. He finally had a place provided for Him. That was the place that was provided for Christ, on the cross. There was no room in Bethlehem for Him who left His throne to seek the lost at countless cost and make their griefs His own. But there was room for Him on Calvary, upon the cross of shame, for Him to die uplifted high, to bear the sinner's blame. But there is room at Calvary today for individuals who repent and are baptized. You know, this is a wonderful Bible verse. I love it. Because what it says is, he who has the Son has what? Life, has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you who believes in the name of the Son of God, that you, right now, today, you may know that you have eternal life right now, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. That's one of the wonderful promises that our Lord gave us, that we don't have to doubt whether we have eternal life. If we have accepted Christ as our personal Savior, if we are following the commandments of God, then we know for certain that we have eternal life. We made room for Christ on the cross. At least they did in that day. Are we making room for Jesus in our life, in our home? Are you taking time for Jesus? Christmas is, you know, a beautiful time of the year. The flowers, the trees, the opportunity to get together, you know, visit with family and friends, and the opening of the presents. Many today are in the prime of this holiday season. They are busy, 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 busy. They're baking, they're running, getting presents. They're doing all these things. They are just busy making all these appointments. And often at this time of the year, we're thinking, well, I've got to run to Walmart. I've got to run to Myers. I've got to run the Jacks. I've got to, you know, do whatever. I've got to do all these things in our mind, because of this holiday season and the expectations of it, that we need to buy all these presents, we need to get all this food, you know, we need to do all these things. And all the while we're doing all these things, where is God in the back? He's in the back of our mind. He got shoved back there because we're thinking of all these other things that we have to do. And a lot of times people don't have time for Christ. Sometimes when they want Christ, they may be down at the end of their life, or they may have a problem or whatever. It's then they seek out and call upon the name of the Lord. Help me. I'm in trouble. But many times when the Lord does help them and the trouble goes away, then we can slip back into our own ways. So we need to make room for Jesus every day, from the beginning of our lives all the way through our lives. When Jesus walked on this earth, we did not do a good job of accepting him. Even his disciples didn't fully accept him all the way like they should have. And just think, on resurrection morning, when Christ arose from that grave, that there was no disciple there. Not one disciple to witness that event. Hardly anybody was there when Christ arose from the grave. And at the death of Jesus, the soldiers had beheld the earth wrapped in darkness at midday. But at the resurrection, they saw the brightness of the angels illuminate the night and heard the inhabitants of heaven singing with great joy and triumph. Thou hast vanquished Satan and the powers of darkness. Thou hast swallowed up death in victory. Did Christ need the angels to roll that stone away? Why was the stone rolled away? So they could walk in, Mary could walk in to see that Jesus was not there. Because Jesus could have just, transformed himself outside. But nobody except the Roman guards were there to witness Jesus' resurrection on Sunday morning or on Sabbath Saturday. On that Sabbath, that Christ walked with them and talked with them for 3.5 years. He told them, in 3 days and I shall arise, that they knew this message. And when that happened, that Christ was put to death, and when Christ was laid in that sepulcher, you know what? If you were a disciple, what you should have been doing? You should have been in every pulpit in the land of Jerusalem and all around and preaching. Tomorrow, come. Jesus Christ is going to arise. Come. They could have preached that message and 100,000 people might have been there on that Sunday morning to witness those bright angels streaking down through the skies and rolling away that stone and seeing the Savior. But how many saw it? Just the Roman guards. And they were paid off not to tell. We need to put Christ back into Christmas. Many times people will write Xmas. There are atheists out there. And one lady went to the post office to get some stamps, and the only stamps, that Christmas stamps they had, all had a religious theme to them. And the lady says, "Why can't we keep religion out of Christmas?" We try to do that, don't we? People tried it in Jesus' day, and they're still trying it. This is just an email. I thought this one was from Max, but it wasn't, somebody else. "No Christmas at the White House. Disgrace for our country." Okay? This I just got off yesterday. "The White House will not do Christmas in 2010. Though you might be interested in this information from the White House, this is not a rumor. It's a fact. A very talented artist that for the last several years has painted ornaments to be hung on various White House Christmas trees. The White House this year sent out a letter recently. It said that they would not be called Christmas trees this year, but they would be called what? Holiday trees, okay? And not to send any ornaments painted with a religious theme. She was upset at this development, sent back a reply telling them that she painted the ornaments for Christmas trees and would not be sending any for display that left Christ out of Christmas. And I just thought you should know what the new residents in the White House plan to do for the future." I'm not going to get into the politics, but it's happening right around us. You know, the reason that we get together at Christmas, it isn't all the Christmas presents. It isn't all the food that we eat, or all the drinking and entertainment and everything that goes on. But the reason is to remember the most important thing of our life is that Jesus Christ came to this world to save me and you. That's the thing to remember. A little 12-year-old girl noticed that the closer they got to Christmas, the more grouchier her mother got. And they were busy cooking, cleaning, getting ready for company, shopping and wrapping presents, dealing with scotch tape and tags and the boxes, and you know how it goes. And trying to get all those lights on the Christmas tree. You know, you put the lights all around the tree and you plug them in and one string doesn't light. And so, what do? You go through every little bulb. I used to do that. But now the lights are so cheap, I just take the string off and throw it away and go buy a new string and come back and put that on. But finally, the mother said, well, we need a few more things. Hurry up. We've got to go shopping. We forgot some gifts. And so where do they go? They go out to the shopping mall. They go out to the shopping mall. When they're out to the shopping mall, what do they see? Today's wrap paper. Buy any present in the mall, we'll wrap it for you. So there's hundreds of people doing the wrapping, hundreds of people who have bought things, you know. So they're all tied up into this. And, you know, that if you would take away Christmas, Black Friday they call it, in this Christmas time, that I would say that probably 90% of the businesses make their income from the Christmas season, from Thanksgiving through Christmas. And so they are doing everything they can to entice you to buy everything, as Brenda at all these magazines here, you know, $10 Kohl's cash or whatever. They're doing everything to entice you to go out and buy presents, saying, well, you need this new 60-inch television screen, or you need this new whatever, you know? And, oh, I've got to have that for my wife or my husband. Oh, my kids want that. They've been screaming for it. And so you go out and you buy all this stuff and you put it all in your charge cards. And what's going to happen later on? The bill's going to come due. And a lot of people won't have the money. You know, the little girl was in her room and finally went in the room, and the little girl was standing there with some quiet time. What are you doing? The mother asked. Well, my teacher at school said if we'd just be a little quiet and spend some quiet time before we go shopping, we could take Jesus with me. And I want to take Jesus with me. Now, the question is, how many of you got a cell phone? Probably everybody. Majority of you. How many times have you walked out of the house and even driven down the road? I've done it myself a couple miles down the road and said, oh, I forgot my cell phone. I stop, turn around, and go back home and get it. Because that cell phone is important to me. And I saw an advertisement for a car key holder that said, I'll show it to you. This is one of the new gadgets on the market that, I don't know, you know, you hook it up to your car ring, you know, and that if you start to walk out the door and close the door and you don't have your cell phone with you, the buzzer goes off. And so it reminds you to go back in and get your cell phone. It'll send you a signal. Then I'm stopping to think how many times do I walk out the door and I forget and I leave Jesus there at home? Have you ever done that? It does happen. And sometimes I'm more concerned about my cell phone than I am with taking Jesus with me wherever I go. You know, Christmas is a beautiful time. A lot of time they have the Christmas Eve services. When we were kids in went to the Catholic faith, we used to go to Christmas Eve Mass. But it's time, a beautiful time. You know, you see the choirs there, and they come on Christmas morning. Choir will be in church to remember the birth of Christ, singing praises to his name. The churches will be overflowing come Christmas morning. Churches, you know, I don't know how many people are in that church there, 500, 600 people. But all churches will be overflowing on Christmas morning. And then what happens a few weeks later, a few months later, after Christmas? And then they kind of slack off. And then comes Easter time, Good Friday. And all of a sudden on Easter Sunday, the churches are full again. Unless we have another 7-Eleven attack or something happens, then the people are back in church. Now, we're all people. We could all be walking out in the mall. Well, what is in this picture? There's something wrong. There's a tree that's different, isn't it? There's a tree that's different. You can notice that tree very easily. We are all a group of people. We can be out in the shopping mall. We can be different. Are you willing to be different? Are you willing to stand out from the crowd and decide to worship Jesus, not just on Christmas and Easter, but every day that God gives you? We can be different. You know, in another few days, we are going to beginning a new year, 2011. And I want to urge you to get into the Word of God this new year. The greatest gift that God gave us is His Word. His Word. Will you not open the book and be spiritually fed by the words of life? You know, it's something that you have to decide in your own mind that this is something that you want to do, you need to do. And as you do it, it will help you in your walk of life here upon this earth. I'm going to urge you to be a person of prayer. Get on your knees and spend some real meaningful time getting acquainted with Jesus. He's special. And the more you get to know him, the more that you'll love him. Read the Word of God. Pray to him. Dedicate your life to him. Witness to him. Serve him. Grow in him. And soon, yes, he will come to take us home. He wants to restore us back into that Garden of Eden. And he'll do that if you'll give your heart to him. Can you imagine looking up and seeing this? Jesus coming in the clouds of heaven, thousands of angels with him. Isn't that the blessed hope that we're waiting for? Titus 2, 11 through 13. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again. I've heard this for I don't know how many years. Jesus is coming again. And I have to remind myself what the day, one day is like 1,000 years. You know. But he is coming again. The signs foretell that we are living at the end time. And when he comes this time, it will not be as a baby, but it will be as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You know, and we can have that growing experience with Christ if we invite him into our hearts. You know, why not get acquainted with Jesus today if you haven't already? You get acquainted with him, you'll find out, you'll love him. He's the best friend in the world that you can have. He's waiting to show you his love and mercy. We know very well that Jesus could come back this new year. And I want to go home. I want to be in heaven more than anything else in this world. No present would ever pass the present of having eternal life with Christ. That is the greatest present. It isn't the Christmas tree. It isn't the presents under the tree. It isn't the big meal that we all sit down and eat too much of. But the biggest gift is Christ and what he's given us and what he's doing for us and will do for us. We have a wonderful message. A message that we need to give to the world. And the question is, will you personally, will you be willing to share this message with others? The great gospel commission, go ye therefore into all the world. It may be your next door neighbor, maybe the person on the other side of town or in another state. But the question is, will you be willing to share this message with others? Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born today. Thank you.
Gracious Father in heaven, it's been good to be here. Thanks for the wonderful reminder of what Christmas really is like. We want you in our hearts this Christmas season. Now bless us as we leave together. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.